Welcome to the Epoch Sec Twitter Space on Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern. I think that is 2200 or 10 p.m. UTC. What's up, Sam? I'll go ahead and invite you up. I literally just started. Yeah, so if anybody's listening to recording, I think Banu asked for the recording specifically. But if you're listening to the recording, just skip a couple of minutes ahead at a time until you feel the conversation getting fluid. It usually takes 5 to 10 minutes to get started for those listening to the recording. Thanks for joining. Sam, I think I invited you up.
There we go. Did that work?
I can hear you. Yeah, how are you?
All right. Doing well. Doing well. How are you?
Doing all right. Literally just got home.
Right.
Yeah, I picked up that Traeger Timberline XL today.
Nice. I've looked at the Traegers. My family's been pretty much Weber diehards for my whole life. But the Traegers, I will admit, I've been looking at those, so maybe one day.
Yeah, I've always been religiously serious about never using anything but charcoal.
Right.
And then 2 years ago, my father-in-law and mother-in-law came here to our house, and it happened to be on my birthday. So on the way back to here from the airport, we stopped in Home Depot for I think I need a breaker or something. And while I was getting that, he saw the Traeger, and by the time I got back, he was already buying it for me for my birthday. I'm like, I guess I have to try a pellet grill now. Damn
Yeah.
it. And I ended up loving it, right? So, and then that was 2 years ago, and then my buddy the other day was just selling his the Timberline XL, which is their flagship grill.
Okay.
And he was selling it for a 75% less than what he paid for it, right? And it's a $4,000 grill, and I got it for like $1,000.
Nice.
And he couldn't keep it because he's moving into downtown Charlotte. And so I got pretty lucky there.
Yeah. Holy cow, $3,800 for this thing. Wi-Fi. What does it have with Wi-Fi?
I don't even know yet, man. I'm not even sure. I've just been spending 2 days, or I guess all day actually today, yeah, cleaning it. So I picked it up and I've been cleaning it all and everything. And I've been looking at what it does and I'm still not entirely sure, but
Yeah. Well, put it in a protected zone if it's got Wi-Fi. That's so funny. I'm gonna have to look into that later because I've never seen a grill with Wi-Fi enabled.
yeah, they have their own term for it, but
Wi-Fi.
yeah, which is just literally Wi-Fi, right? But I don't know why people have to do that, but
Gotta make it
I
cool.
guess it's catchy.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah, 1,320 square inches of cooking area. That is
It's kind of
nice.
ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just working on tweeting this thing out, so
Yeah.
let's see, copy that. Let me get on my other account and do that. I usually take about a good 5, 10 minutes before I get started, so just chatting right now for the moment
Yeah.
while I'm getting ready. Yeah, but yeah, man, that thing's crazy. 'Cause I have the, I'm not sure what Traeger I have, but it's definitely their smaller one, right? Where I can fit a brisket on it, like a full size 15-pound brisket, but barely, right? Like that's
Right.
it. Nothing else is going on it, right? And I obviously have the gigantic round charcoal Weber too. I usually use that to smoke. I use something called the snake method for the charcoal, right? Where you kind of stack it in two rows and offset off stack another row of charcoal on top of it, but offset, and you light one side and it just kind of creeps its way along the outside of the grill. So I've done everything. I did competition smoking when I lived in Missouri for a couple of years as well, but
Oh, really?
yeah.
Nice.
Yep. But long past all that, I still like grilling, but I've given up that notion of I'll always be a charcoal griller. I mean, I still do it, right? But if I want to grill steaks or smoke a pork butt during the day while I'm working during the week, I have that option.
Yeah, no, it's pretty nice. I mean, yeah, I'll admit I've never used a pellet grill. Like I said, I mean, I've been intrigued by
Right.
Traeger, but I've never used one, so I'm curious. Maybe after you've used it, that's your first pellet grill, you said?
Well, yeah, the one I got, no, my father-in-law bought me 2 years ago. That was my
Oh,
first one
you
ever.
know, I got you. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, and then this one came, up as a surprise, an amazing deal of a lifetime if you want that kind of
Sure.
grill. And I'm like, well,
Why fire not?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. Let's see here.
One, two, three. So bottom rack. I'm just looking at the pictures. So bottom rack, two upper racks.
It's
And
two
then
upper racks, yep.
a cooking plate to the side.
Yeah, and apparently it's great. It gets super hot, so it's really good for searing, if you're doing steaks or something. So,
Yeah.
I haven't even plugged it in yet, right? I'm just kind of taking it
Exactly.
slow and
Yeah.
doing a deep clean on it, getting used to where everything is before I even try to do anything,
Right. Got
What's up, driving? We're going to get started in just a moment. I've just tweeting this out on my main account. That would be Holy Macaroni here. Yeah, okay. Let me see here. I have that out there. Sam, could I bug you just to hit the retweet on this too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate it.
I did tweet it out.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Yeah, so driving, you are requesting to hop up. Yeah, I don't mind inviting you up. Driving Tip Daily. Oh, you're the Driving Tip Daily account. How are you doing? Awesome,
Supporting,
man.
get the algo going to get some friends in here.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Yeah, I've been gone all day, so I haven't been able to send out reminders and stuff. And I'm sure a lot of people see the space, and then Sunday afternoon comes and their mind is on other things, right?
Yeah, I just got home, so I'm happy that you're hosting the space. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I just got home myself. I was telling Sam that
Yeah.
we just drove to Charlotte a couple hours away today to pick up a new Traeger Timberline. So I've been busy doing that all day. But today, I'm going to talk today about. I've written an article and did a video on it stuff, and I'm going to be talking today about the different areas, like three or four different major areas to focus on and what to do with in terms of getting into cybersecurity. I think you have some background. I'm not entirely sure. Well, I know you have something. I know Sam has a security background, and I've been in this space for 13 or 14 years now, and done a lot of things, mentored a lot of people. So I'm just, and I feel like the more we educate people on how to get in the space, and we get people into the space, the more people there will be to help keep other people safe. That's the idea tonight. I'm just kind of giving another couple of minutes to see if anybody hops in. I forgot today was even Easter. In the US, I would have probably not even had the space today, actually. But here we are.
Yep.
But I know Banu from Project Noom and some other people have asked for the recording of this because I'm sure they're doing Easter things. But if they are, if for anybody listening to the recording, we're about to get started. But just giving you an idea of the rest of April, the next few topics I'll be talking about are common crypto scams, to not, to kind of help you understand what to look for and how to identify these things, and, what are the common trends. The week after that, we'll be talking about social media security, specifically how you can secure the, some of the most major, the major social media platforms out there. They're most, for the most part, they're all generally the same on what you'll do, right? 2FA, disabling default settings and stuff like that, right? But I will, we'll walk through each one of them and guide people along on that. The third week, the last week after that, I'll be talking about a thought process I have, and I'm definitely going to hope I get people in like Sam and Driving Tips and some other people to give their thought processes and suggestions as well. But my thought process on how to identify things that are potentially malicious or safe, right? If it's a person or a team or a website or a tool project, whatever it is, right? Well, kind of what are the things that I do to correlate enough information to make my best decision on if I think it's safe to interact with or not. So that's the next 3 or 4 weeks. But tonight will be specifically about some topics around security. I'm definitely going to look for your guys' inputs on that as well. Because we all have different
Absolutely.
experiences, right? I mean, the how I got into security is not how you got into security, and the journey I've taken or the things that I've noticed that help may not exactly be the same, right? But yeah. Okay, so without further ado, I'll go over the categories first for everybody. So, and it's kind of a bummer, man. Last week I had a good audience last week, but again, like I said, it's Easter. I didn't even think about that. It is what it is. But the categories are going to be studying and learning, what to start off with knowing, and how, where do you start off with, the biggest challenge is not knowing what you don't know, right? So, how do you get started off with what to start learn, educating yourself on and getting some knowledge and experience with. The next one is training resources that you can use to, use to let you that you can leverage to meet that goal of learning and studying. Then I'll talk about some certificate stuff, and then I'll talk about different job roles and career paths that you can take. And then we'll share some of our own experiences. Maybe we'll share our own experiences first. I don't know. I'm just kind of winging it tonight, but I can, actually, I would like to do that. Let's do that. So I'll start off with sharing how I got into security, and then I would ask you guys, Sam, you, and then Driving Tips. Kind of, I don't, not sure if you're into security, but however, whatever you're in, kind of, how you got there, because that could help anybody, right? But I specifically got into security because I was in the military. I was in the U.S. Navy for 13 years as well, and I was active duty for 8 years. But then I got out of active duty. And I went to the reserves. Well, during my reserve time, I volunteered to go to Iraq. While I was over there, I met some other reservists that their primary job back in the States was in cybersecurity. Long story short, I also had a top secret SEI clearance with a full polygraph. And so that TSSEI clearance, along with my military background, and I met some other people in the military that were in cybersecurity, right? It was kind of the I met the right people at the right time kind of thing. Well, they took my name and everything, and after 13 months, we left Iraq, and we're the good old hey, let's stay in touch thing, right? And I get home not thinking much of it. A couple of months later, one of them calls me and says, "Hey, would you like to move from North Carolina up to Missouri for a job?" And I had just started back to college at the time as well, and they're said, "Okay, yeah, let's talk about it." So I interviewed for the job. I seemed really good. They came back with a salary. Again, I just got out of the Navy making, I'm, at the time I was, my salary was probably $20 a month working part-time trying to go to school. And they said, "We'll give you 70 grand a year." And so, okay. So, a couple of weeks later, I was living in Missouri. But so I was working for, an agency in the federal government. I did that for 4 years. Again, it was really an entry level job. It was a security analyst, right? So I was kind of the guy that sat there in front of the tools, and I changed policies, set rules and stuff based on what other security architects or engineers or whoever was telling me to do. So through that, I built up a lot of experience over the course of 4 or 5 years. And then after that, I started looking elsewhere. I got a job offer as a lead security engineer for my company that was divesting from their parent company. And I get on the interview and I said, well, I know like three security products that I worked a lot on in the federal government, and most of it was kind of endpoint security solutions. They said, well, we're getting about 60 different products, security solution products. I said, well, okay, well, like I said, I probably don't know 57 of them. They said, well, you're hired anyway. I said, okay. So the next 4 years of my life I spent, that was probably the I, in that 4 years is probably when I gained the most experience in my entire life, but also the most stress, right? So that's kind of that's how I went. I gained a, like I said, I learned in just so much valuable knowledge, but I was constantly stressed. I was, we were working with teams overseas, so I was up in the middle of the night a lot of times because I might have set something wrong or someone told me something wrong and I had to fix something. It was just, and I was really the only person literally working on these 60 different solutions, right? Most of them I really didn't have to mess with too often. There's probably 10 or 15 of them, but that's a lot. Anyway, I left that and I went to a security vendor after that to consult. I'll start cutting it short here. For the first 4 years of my time there, I was a consultant traveling around the United States, around the world, India, Germany, you name it. Consulting for enterprise companies, helping them implement solutions, designing them, etc. And now for the last 4 years or so, I've been managing a team of consultants, as well as helping enterprise companies architect solutions before they even get to the point of, building out their security, goals. But that's my experience. That's where I am now. Man, I spent a lot of time babbling about that. How about you guys?
No, it's all, that's good. I mean, that's good. And so I'll take it next as far as, so my background, similarly in some ways, right? So I started in the military, and I was in the healthcare realm. So dealing a lot with, HIPAA and PII and other kind of regulated information. But just from, a practitioner, like the person using it, and just being aware of a lot of those. And so for me, I'd always kind of been interested in computers, and didn't really think a whole lot of it. I think back in, and this maybe dates myself, but like back in high school, right, the late 90s and early 20s, I probably, fancied, oh, I should learn HTML and be a hardcore programmer. But anyway, so, that never happened. Anyway, going through in the army, I kind of started college a little bit, looking at business, but I didn't finish a degree there. Eventually, I got back into college, a couple years ago, and originally, I actually started back in studying intelligence studies, and managed to get my professional, what is it, intelligence fundamentals professional certificate, and some of those other things fancy that I was going to go work for the CIA, but I don't know, who knows. But I took a course on OSINT, open source intelligence techniques, and as opposed to a lot of the other courses I had taken up to that point, it was really computer heavy, in a lot of those different things of how you can find information in different ways, information that's out there, how do you aggregate it to actually have something that's actionable. And I just fell in love with that. I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. And so I was talking with the professor for that course, and he said, oh, well, maybe you should consider, he kind of steered me into cybersecurity. So I ended up changing my major, which is a whole pain. But anyway, yeah, so I ended up getting my degree in cybersecurity with a concentration in wireless and mobile security. And then after that, a little while later, I ended up, my first job was as an information system security officer. So really managing, asset inventories and compliance kind of as far as the Active Directory and things along that nature. Kind of, one of the lower entry-level jobs. And then from there, I moved into a cybersecurity specialist for a financially regulated company. So dealing with, the different requirements that FINRA and the SEC have as far as how the company should be safeguarding, securities and, customer user data and all that. And that kind of opened my eyes to a realm of cybersecurity known as GRC, so governance, regulation, and compliance. And that really kind of, tipped my hat of, okay, that's, now that's kind of really what I'm interested in. Along the way, I've had, great experience with getting involved with different organizations, and maybe we can talk about that later as well with the IEEE, Security and Privacy Technical Committee under the Computer Society. But IEEE Security and Privacy, and then OWASP as well, Open Web Application Security Project. So, a lot of experience there with those organizations, and that is me in a nutshell. Of how I got in.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for sharing this, Sam. And I think this is great because it gives people kind of an idea of some different paths they can take, right? Yeah. Driving tip. You don't have to share anything, but before I move into the topics, do you have anything on that
Well, yeah,
subject?
I'll keep it short and sweet, because I want to
Sure.
get into your guys' knowledge mostly. I've been in the network security space for about 2 years now, doing my research and actually networking with a lot of these professionals to try to get them gigs, to get them jobs and to, win hackathons. Got good teams and people that we've been working with and kind of on the project development side. But you guys are the exact kind of crew that, definitely get these projects done. So I'd just love to, absorb some of your knowledge, let you guys, just get to it. Thanks for sharing.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks, driving tip. I appreciate that, man. Yeah, so let's get into, and I'm going to follow the structure of the document I have, and then, what I'll do is I'll just kind of go over each category, and then I'll pause to see if you guys have any input on it to share with the audience that will listen to this after the fact, apparently. but so the first thing is, I titled my document, the first section is Study and Learn. Right. The point here is, like I said in the very beginning, you don't know what you don't know. Right. So you don't know where to start. I would suggest, the biggest thing in cybersecurity is you are in a role where you kind of have to know a little to a lot about every role in an IT infrastructure, right? In the IT field, right? So, and we'll probably get into more of this later on. It depends on how the conversation flows, but basically, right? I mean, you need to know what, I would say the biggest thing is two biggest things is knowing the basics of how a network works, right? What are what is a TCP/IP stack? What are the different stack layers of that stack, right? Some of the basic things that I don't use all of the time, right? But it's important to have that background knowledge is what is IP addressing? What is subnetting, right? What is IPv4 versus IPv6, right? What is a CIDR? What is a slash 24? I'm probably saying a lot of things that using terms that the person that isn't in cybersecurity won't understand. But start off, the best thing I can suggest is watching videos or something like that on the basics of a company network, right? Some other things to focus on are What are all the different components in that network, right? What are email relays? What are web proxies? What are firewalls? What are their purposes? What are the different types of firewalls? What is a firewall versus an IPS, right? You might have a firewall for controlling network edge traffic, right? But then you have an IPS, an intrusion prevention system, for monitoring that, but blocking it, right? You're blocking that network traffic based on vulnerabilities and different things like that, right? And what are VLANs? What are switches? What are routers? You know, how do they di typically organize a network depending on, you know, are they a worldwide organization? Are they a bank with different outlets around the US? You know, are they a hospital with, you know, a cancer research center and then an emergency room and, you know, all these different areas, right? They're going to have them segmented. There's going to be different allocations and rules. There's going to be different, you know, the subnetting, the routers, the switches, everything are going to be set up in a certain way for to make sure that environment can effectively communicate, right? So just understanding the different components. That yeah, I would let me recap. I would say the two biggest things are just knowing the basics of how traffic flows in an environment and knowing just the basics of what are the different devices or appliances, if you will, that are within a network. I would also look at two big things out there in our day and age are virtualization, right? Look at different virtualization platforms. You know, you have, you know, Hyper-V, the hypervisors, you have vSphere, that kind of thing, right? Also look at cloud-based solutions, right? A lot of companies out there use cloud, you typically are using a hybrid solution to where they have on-premise stuff like their own network, and then also using a cloud-based solution for many different purposes, right? Like AWS, Azure, GCP, Google Cloud, things like that. Now some other basic things, understanding ports and protocols, right? What is SMB? What is SSH? What is HTTP and HTTPS? What do they actually mean? What are, you know, just, I would say this for this one, the first thing you can do to start off with is look up like the top 10 or the top 20 most commonly used ports and protocols in a network, right? And that'll get you a starting point, and you'll branch off from there as you start understanding more. A lot of companies also are now implementing SOCs or security operations centers. That's a good area to look at as well. They're very popular now, right? That's kind of the central hub, if you will, where all of the data within the environment flows into and is used to correlate. You're basically correlating. It's a lot more to a SOC, right? But simply put, it's basically a center hub where all the information is funneled to correlate that to normalize the environment. So you could, they are the ones that can better understand typical network traffic in the environment and quickly pick out potential, you know, malicious bad actor activity, that kind of thing. Data protection is a huge thing as well. Understanding what that means depending on the region of the world you're in. A lot also storage solutions, right? Centralized storage is a big component of most network environments. Also regulation and compliance requirements, HIPAA, PHI, ISO controls, GDPR, stuff like that. Things that Sam, you could probably actually talk on a little more. Hello, Ellis. I just saw you join. Welcome for joining. I'm talking about getting into cybersecurity today. I'm not sure I've met you before, but you're welcome to hop up and request speaker if you have anything to share or have any questions or anything like that. So don't be shy. If you want to hop up, you're more than welcome. Anyway, so I kind of talked about the basics, and I talked about I kind of mentioned some key things you could focus on as well around virtualization and cloud-based solutions. A third thing I would recommend that is often a missed thing in a lot of cybersecurity professionals, in my experience, is coding or scripting languages, right? Oftentimes, not I would say it's becoming more popular, but still, oftentimes that's a skill that's lacking. So if you want to get ahead of the game, learning something like PowerShell or Python or JavaScript, I would say Python. If you wanted to pick one and nothing else, I'd recommend Python, right? But then you also have Bash and Go, Ruby, Rust, PHP, stuff like that. Another good tip that I usually don't see mentors give people, If you're trying to learn about the space and get familiar with it for your entry level job, would be look at security vendors out there. Go look at them. Go look at CrowdStrike. Look at McAfee or Trellix. Look at FireEye. Look at there are ton Alien. I think it's Alien something. Anyway, there are a ton of a ton of. Man, I'm just having a brain fart right now. There's a ton of security vendors out there. My point being is go look up the security vendors, see what are their most popular solutions, right? That's a good way to find a starting point on things that you might want to go and learn, right? Because if you don't know what they're selling, then how are you going to get those jobs if you're looking to work for a vendor and consult or architect, whatever, right? So I think that's a good idea. I think that basically covers the studying and learning category before I move on to training resources. So I'll pause and see if Driving Tip or Sam, you have anything. Also, welcome Amigo, I think that is. I'm not sure I know who you are either. Nice to meet you. Just like I told Ellis, if you have any questions or anything to share, please hop up and request to speak. But go ahead, Sam, and Driving Tip.
Yeah, I mean, all of those are excellent points, right? And so for me, right, just and this is kind of one of the things that I struggled with early on too, right? Is I was getting into it, and I'm one of those who it's like I'm a curious person. I want to know and I want to understand it. And so at some point, like it almost becomes overwhelming on how much information there is to know, and especially once you start getting off on like rabbit trails of all these different things and how they connect. But one of the things that I found very helpful after after I kind of I was just like spread so thin in every direction of like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. Like all the things that you have that you've already said, here, and then things, most of it you've covered, but what you have on your document. But the point being that, so what I learned is I had to pick kind of a thing, right? And there's so much to learn, but I learned to love to-do lists, right? And so I would write down, what I want to focus on like right now, and then anything else that came to my mind, I had to, write it down. I've ended up finding Todoist, but I mean, there's a lot of different things. You can write it on a piece of paper if you're old school, right? Or you can write it in a notebook. But like, just kind of all the concepts or the topics that you come into, bookmarking things that you want to go back to later on. But I found focusing on, and maybe not one thing, but like a few things at a time, and really kind of get an understanding of it. But I mean, I agree. You hit everything on the head as far as the types of things you want to learn and focus on. And yeah, but I mean, that's probably my thing is just learning to kind of make a learning path for yourself. Refine one that kind of matches, and then start learning. Right? I just first I'm gonna start learning about TCP/IP. I'm gonna start learning about OSI model, and then go then branch out from there. It's like, okay, I'm gonna learn IDS, IPS, firewalls, and VLANs, and all these other things that then will make a lot more sense once you understand kind of those basic elements.
Yeah, Sam, and you bring up a good point that there's another point too, and I think you kind of mentioned it, but something I was going to bring up in the jobs and roles section, but I started off giving a bunch of things to know, and you're right? If you try to know everything, it's very overwhelming. What I always suggest to people is, the good thing of the good. The pro and the con to our field is there is literally always something to learn. You will I, you could be in this career field until the day you die, and you're not going to know everything. So just start off learning some things, right? Don't worry about knowing everything right away. I get asked the same thing by individuals and teams building projects all of the time, like, How do I secure everything? Or, how do I know everything right now? Or how do I secure everything right now? And that's not the right mentality, right? Think of learning as well as building a project as a layered approach, right? We in security, we always use the term of layered security, right? So, but it applies in that concept really applies to everything. And also, I would recommend as you start learning some of these basics, get some of the basics under your belt, but don't hesitate to quickly get into that entry level job as quick as you can. IT help desk, I mean, that's not security related directly, but that'll give you a lot of experience in an IT in a network. Or look for a security analyst role, right? Those are very typically very entry level jobs. And that's where you're going to get a lot of the experience, but you're also going to get a lot of exposure to other roles and how they work, and you'll more quickly get a better idea of maybe the path that you want to follow, right?
No, absolutely. And I don't know if this maybe fits better under the job roles, but I mean, but no, I mean, I think, the IT support desk, the help desk, as a starting point while you learn the rest and kind of work into that, it helps if for no other reason than because you hear firsthand the troubles that the user and client have, right? And then you're following a script of how that's gonna fix, how you're gonna try to fix it or you're gonna elevate it. But you get that firsthand knowledge of, okay, these are the type of issues that people are having, and can kind of structure that. And so I would put that in like usable security slash, where are the sticking points with a product or, or whatever, a thing, very vaguely.
Yeah, absolutely, Sam. Absolutely. So I'll move on to the training resources section next, which is pretty quick one to cover. But driving, do you have anything on that topic to share? I just want to give you a chance.
I just think that when you do pick like a specific niche, you become way more valuable once you get good at that niche. And also, the higher up the stack you go without being secured at the base layers, leaves you more vulnerable. But it still doesn't mean like a higher level up in the stack. If you're doing like smart contract work, it's still equally important. But you might want to layer, and lean on somebody who's already got the first layers done.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's actually a very good point that we missed. Yeah, thank you, driving. Cool. Okay. Well, training resources. This one is actually pretty short for me, right? This is one where I can ask 100 different people and I'll probably get, 40 to 60 different responses because there are so many different ways to learn out there and have, so many different resources available. I'm constantly being told different resources and platforms and tools out there to go learn that I've never even heard of, right? But the three that I would recommend in order would be the first one is YouTube, right? I for years now, if there is something that I want to know, if I'm like, how does XYZ work or what is ABC? I first go to YouTube and see if there's a video on it. So, more often than not, there's multiple videos on it with people from different perspectives giving me that answer, a visual answer at that, and demos and et cetera, right? So, in my opinion, that's a hands down number one thing, right? And it's free, right? Well, it is free if you're okay with ads and stuff. I personally pay for the monthly subscription. Most of the time, I'm avidly against subscriptions because I hate subscription models because they're just a money grab and a quick and easy way for companies to get more money out of you. So just selling you a product and leaving it at that, right? But I actually pay for that because, I like to download the videos. I can save them if I'm on a plane ride. I can then watch them because I have them downloaded. Yeah, I can lock my phone and put it in my pocket and keep listening to it while I'm doing something. No ads, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not selling you YouTube, right? Don't, actually, I should probably advise you to not pay for it, right? But use it, right? YouTube is a wonderful platform. The next one I would recommend is Udemy, Udemy. I've explained this on the Cardano over Coffee Space Friday and on my YouTube video. Actually, speaking of that, for the folks in here, Ellis and Amigo that I haven't met yet, I'll actually, when I stop speaking here for a moment, I'll go ahead and share that up top if you want to check out my videos. I've done all sorts of things so far.
And I've been.
Gold Rush, I didn't see you joined. Thanks for joining, Gold Rush, man. I always love having you here, sir. Yeah, thanks for joining.
I was just going to say,
Anyway, to con
I did pin your message from
Oh.
Billy Macaroni at the top with so it has the two links. If you open that up, it has the spotting and safe web pages, and then down under that is the video that you did a couple days ago.
Man, Sam, I appreciate you, man. Yeah, folks like you, I little things like that mean a lot. Thank you very much for posting that up for me. But yeah, like Sam said, that tweet at the top, like he pinned for me, is my two recent videos, spotting unsafe websites, tools that I use for doing that, as well as my video where I walk through visually what I'm talking about right now. But anyway, back to Udemy. So Udemy, I was just there with my wife the other day at a store called Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby is that kind of store where it's an arts and crafts store, right? And things are relatively expensive there. However, every single week, they're putting numerous things on sale for like 50% or 70% off, right? Huge deals all the time, so-called deals, if you will, right? But and that's kind of her key to find those things and save a lot of money and get what she's looking for. You just have to be patient and wait. That's kind of what Udemy is, right? Udemy is a great platform for a lot of different knowledge-based videos. A lot of times the courses are kind of expensive, but if you just find those courses you're looking for, if you're not in a rush, just save them, and get email notifications for when they go on sale. And oftentimes they'll go on sale for huge discounts, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70% off, right? And like for instance, Udemy is where I learned how to use Python. The course is like $70 forever. Then one day it went on sale, I think for like $6 or $7. So I bought it, right? I got it. But it was great. So Udemy is great. If you go to epochsec.gitbook.io, I have my document on there of this subject, and I have like four or five different Udemy courses listed there that are free, right? That you can just watch for free on this cybersecurity topic. The last one I'll mention is LinkedIn Learning. LinkedIn Learning, I've said this before in other spaces, I don't know actually what the cost is for an individual, but typically I've had exposure to LinkedIn Learning, which used to be called lynda.com, Lynda. I know there's a cost to it, but typically if you're with a company or have a job already, sometimes they'll give you access to Lynda, or I mean LinkedIn Learning. So if you do have that access, it's actually a wonderful resource. But look into it. The personal cost might actually be good. I don't even have any idea, but that would be my other option. But anyway, what training resources outside of what I mentioned might you guys suggest?
Yeah, I mean those would be kind of a lot of the ones I would recommend too. I mean, you can find so much on YouTube for free. Admittedly, just like anything else on YouTube, you kind of have to be aware of what you're watching and somewhere and not that yeah, I mean just it's a quality thing, right? Some of the videos aren't very good quality, but again, if you have the time, watch a couple. And you'll get you'll finally you eventually you'll find a good course. I mean, on YouTube alone, the Cyber Mentor is really good. Oh my goodness, what's his name? I keep not forgetting it now. But anyway, I mean, there's a couple good channels to find. I will just say, once you find the video that you're like, oh, this really helped me, right? And it presents the information that I want in a clear way. Whatever, subscribe, really save it, and follow that channel. But no, those are really good. I mean, I would say I have learned a lot from professional organizations as well. And I'm not trying to like hawk, IEEE or OAuth. And it really depends on what your interest in cybersecurity or just your own development is. Right. If you're doing it for your own kind of personal knowledge, they may not have as much value. But if you're doing it for professional, Something like, the IEEE Security and Privacy S&P Technical Committee is, it is a great place to meet a lot of people. In fact, they have their...
So I'm like a tactical guy. I think we lost you there, Sam. But I like to play with the tools, like whether it was like Chocolaty or Blockly or so. Like I like to get on the apps and play with stuff like Hello World. Like here, learn the code, go through these tutorials. But that was fun for me, but it's like still entry level.
That's a good point. Yeah, playing with the tools, right? Trying them out, trying these different things. Blockly is awesome, right? Or, you could spin up a Kali Linux box and tinker with that. There's all sorts of, hands-on, right? Hands-on playing with things. If you hear about something, don't be afraid to go try it out, right? If you're worried about what you might do to your system, install VirtualBox or on Windows, if you have, I think, the Pro Edition or above, you can run Windows Sandbox or something like that. So use that if you're worried about messing up your own system, but try out tools, right? Yeah.
This might be ill-advised, but the best instructions and learning I got was with people over on my machine, like screen sharing, which a lot of devs will share time and educate you on stuff if you're willing to learn.
You know, I do that exact same thing in my job, in my day job. So I work a lot with product managers and product engineers, and I'll ask them a question and they'll give me an answer. And the answer will work if I need to give that to a customer, but I'll do that same thing. I'll say, hey, oftentimes I'll ask them if they can hop on Teams with me real quick and screen share and explain to me what they're talking about. And they'll most of the time they'll do that, right? And then I learn a little bit out of that every time, right? It's a very valuable thing to do. Most of the time, people are willing to help. Just don't be afraid to ask, right? Yeah. Sam, can we hear you again?
Can you hear me now?
We can. Yep.
Okay. I'll just piggyback on what Dragan said, right? But I agree that is absolutely the thing. There is a lot of information that you can understand at a conceptual level. Definitely, if you want to learn and you want to get more information, I think you have to do the hands-on. And VMs are, virtual machines are the way to do it. And again, there's tons of videos to show you how to set one up, so that you can isolate that machine. That's, I would say, prepare to do that while you're learning.
Yeah, I think I need to add a YouTube video, bump it up on my list from the other things I have planned for setting up VirtualBox and getting some VMs set up for people. I think actually I'm not sure I've done that. Maybe I have done that. I don't even know. So the next two categories are certifications and job roles. I'm actually going to skip certifications, get to that at the end. I'm going to get into job roles now, right? So this is another thing, like I kind of mentioned earlier, a key, like, a little secret tip is to look at security vendors and see kind of the solutions they're selling, because that could be a direction point for what to learn, right? The same thing goes with job roles. That's another thing that I think mentors and people that are advising you on this space often miss sharing with you, right? Because that could help you understand the paths that you want to go, right? But you can, more importantly, it also helps you understand what consumes this space, this world of cybersecurity, and what are the different possibilities out there? Because, I think a lot of times people hear cybersecurity and they think just, you're like an ethical hacker and you don't do anything else, right? But there are a ton of different possibilities out there, right? I'll just quickly walk through them here and then open up the floor for if anybody has anything to share. We talked earlier about entry-level jobs, right? IT help desk. If you're looking at job postings, key things to look for entry-level jobs are, like we said, IT help desk or service desk, but also security technician, security administrator, or security specialist. Those are usually key terms that they use for entry-level security jobs. So look for that while you're going through your initial training and try to get one of those jobs kind of as quick as you can. Now, some that I wrote in this document a list of different roles, and I've probably missed some here. But and I think driving tip, you said you're in network security, right? So, the first two I'll mention are networking, so network security, or host and endpoint security. Those are two different fields. One of my employees is a strictly a networking guy. The other employee is strictly an endpoint guy. The other one is strictly data protection, and things like that, right? So they all kind of have their niche abilities, right? But I would say some of the three biggest categories for typical security engineers would be network security, endpoint security, and data protection. You also have software development and software engineering. Right, we obviously need someone to code and develop these security solutions. Right, that is a very important role, and I, in my opinion, that's be is starting to kind of thin out a little bit. Right, I'm starting to see these spaces where, they're very lacking on the secure on the software developer side. So that's an obvious one to look into if you're already a coder. Then you have architecting, right? Helping companies architect out their security. Goals, right? Help them walk through what they're trying to do, where they want to get to, help them design their plan, help them choose the solutions, help them choose how they're going to implement it, help them create the architecture of it, all of that, right? You're kind of the person that goes in and does everything before the implementation of it really begins, right? Or you might be reviewing environments, or you help, might be helping someone expand environments, or companies divesting, or new businesses, things like that. So architecting is a wonderful role to get into as well. Then you have two other, another one would be something like risk analysis or auditing or compliance. Those are very important rules, obviously, right? There's depending on what business sector you're in, whether it's healthcare, government, education, banking, they all have their own their own compliance requirements, auditing requirements, and things like that. If you're in Europe, you have GDPR. If you're in Australia, you have to know how to never send any of your information to the US because Australia does not want any of your stuff going to the US at any point ever. So that's a thing. But yeah, risk analysis, auditing, and compliance, those are all kind of different things, but you kind of can lump them into a broad category together, if you will. Then you have intelligence, right? Intelligence resource or intelligence research and threat hunting. Well, actually, threat hunting is separate, but intelligence resource or research, right? So I actually work with teams. Their only job in life is to gather intelligence, right? They crawl the dark web. They're kind of in that environment with the bad actors and stuff like that, right? So they can stay on the up and up and be aware of the current trends and knowledge out there before anybody else does. So they can help teams prevent, prevent those attacks and those bad actors and stuff, right? So intelligence is a great field as well. It's actually something I kind of wish I might be into, but I never did go down that path, right? Then you have another category of threat hunting, forensics, and incident response. I've spent years working with forensics and incident response teams and threat hunting teams. It's a very, very intriguing field. So many cool things about it. I mean, if you want to learn how to find something that nobody else in the world can find, get into forensics and incident response. It's amazing the things that those people can do. Yeah, it's just mind blowing. But I would say the one thing about forensics and incident response, if you go into incident response specifically, that is one that you kind of need to consider work-life balance kind of thing, right? For instance, most of the time when I get called in to help with an IR, it's Friday evening, something like that, right? And you need to be on top of it immediately, right? Within minutes. I got, a quick story. One time I got a call at 5 a.m. on a Saturday asking how quick I can be in Germany. Long story short, I was in Germany at the customer site that same evening. Miraculously, somehow I was able to do that. But then I spent 3 or 4 days in Cologne, Germany, helping with an incident response, right? It's a very rewarding, very interesting field, but just keep in mind the work-life balance thing there, depending on what your lifestyle is like, right? Then consulting, right? A lot of times companies may not have all of the full-time employees they need for doing whatever they're trying to do. So they bring in consulting teams, right? A lot of security vendors have consulting teams to help these companies as well. That's what I've done for a while, as well, right? I've done that for a long time as well too. So, I've helped companies all around the world, the US, Canada, South America, like India, Germany, Australia, UK, all over Europe, you name it, right? So I would say if I had to give one great pro of consulting is you get a lot of experience to a whole lot of different environments and the way things are done. Then you have a couple other ones I threw on here just to add them in. You also have the legal or the law side of it as well, right? So you have cybercrime investigators. So if you're already in law or law enforcement, or if you're interested in that, cybercrime investigator might be a thing. Then you also have the government versus commercial sectors, right? Do you want to work for the government, depending wherever you are? Do you want to work for a commercial space, whether it's, like I said earlier, healthcare, banking, education, whatever? So that's something to consider as well. Like I said at the very beginning, I started my career off in the government. Now I've been in the commercial space for a long time. Then, further on down your career, you have management roles as well. There's a lot of them out there. I've mentioned product manager already for security vendors. You also have CISOs, chief information security officers, or CIOs, chief information officers. So there are a ton of roles out there. And that's kind of why we talked earlier about finding your niche, or, getting that entry level job sooner rather than later, so you can start getting firsthand experience and working with people in different fields so that you can help that to aid you on your determination on what path you want to follow. And you can always change careers, right? I've seen people go into forensics and back into architecting and or going to be a CISO or whatever. Okay, I have rambled on a long time about that. I could have done that in 2 minutes, but anyway. Yeah.
Simon, did you have your hand up?
Either one of you goes, fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, yeah, that's a very broad, a very good overview, right, of all the different types of jobs. I mean, one of the things I guess I would say too is, I think there's a lot of staple aspects to cybersecurity, right? I mean, like. One of the things that I've heard over and over again, and I agree, is like, understanding, the TCP/IP and some of those basic networking concepts are very important no matter where you go. But there are also, like, there are some jobs where you can get into, you may not really need to do a lot of heavy programming type of stuff. And then other ones, like obviously if you're a cyber crime investigator, you're going to need to know a whole lot more, on what, like, the operating system and, like, your specific devices that you're looking at, the experience a little bit. I mean, I never was in that role specifically, but, my experience with that is, I mean, you need to understand, directories and files and kernels and a lot of things that are hardware specific as well as the software specific. Whereas if you own a network security, you may not touch those things specifically. You're going to need to know everything there is about network and the flow of information and kind of in that area. So I guess what I'm saying is, lean to your strengths. So I mean, if you are coming in and you're a phenomenal developer programmer, right? Then something related to that software development for security, like web application penetration testing could be, a great thing that you learn because you already maybe have a really strong background in, React Native or some other JavaScript-based language or something like that. You've built them for years. Now, it's a little bit easier perhaps for you to transition into being an ethical hacker, pen tester, or just building, secure applications. So kind of lean to your strengths, if that's what you want. And then, yeah, like you said, you can always change later on, to some other role. For me, and I think this kind of goes back to the beginning of it, is that you heard how Macaroni, Holy Macaroni, got into like his path and my path totally different, driving tips different. So like each person that you talk to is going to be a very different way that they may be broke into it, right? It isn't like there's a clean path. Mine started with a degree and then got into it. It sounds like Macaroni, right, started with a hands-on, and then later got a degree or whatever. But like, there's a lot of different ways to get in, and I think that that's one of the strengths, is like, don't count yourself out just because, oh, I haven't started heavy in computers. I was in whatever, right, the hospitality industry, or I was in business or whatever, right? Like all of that, the diversity of backgrounds in cybersecurity actually strengthen it, because everybody thinks about it differently, right? If everybody had the same experience and path to get into it, I think when you do a threat modeling session, or when you're trying to understand what your potential vulnerabilities or attack vectors are, right? You're not going to be as productive. So diversity is key, diversity of thinking and everything like that. It's really helpful. Last thing, super quick, is just, I think also understand the organizational, kind of like the org chart of all the different areas that come into play, right? Like understand where your IT or your network managers, like where do they play in their role and how they fall into cybersecurity, whether you came from that or not. Look at your application security people, even your physical security people, and kind of like understand in whatever organization you're in or that you're working in, like how they play together, how those roles help each other, right? You're not the island to yourself. In some cases, you may be the in-between of, supporting IT folks as well as feeding risk information up to the C-suite, in a way that they can understand the risk and then kind of make decisions. So, but I think understanding the org chart of where cybersecurity, whatever your role is, fits into that helps a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. And a point you made right before you got to that that reminded me of something. I was just working with a lady the other day trying to understand a basic network diagram, and she had actually came from some biology career background, and she just decided to change careers and get into cybersecurity, right? And so anybody can do it at any point, right? Do not let anything shy you away from trying it out if you want to. And the other thing I'll say about job roles and career paths, there are always, if there is an under-filled career, it is cybersecurity. I think the last time I looked, I think there's like somewhere like 200,000 jobs in the U.S. alone that are not filled in the security space alone. Right? So, yeah. I guess that's the last thing I would say. Welcome, John. I saw you joined. We're talking about getting into cybersecurity today. I've been on here for about an hour. We probably won't be here much longer, but if you want to hop up and talk about anything or ask anything, you are welcome to. Amigo, welcome back. And Quasar, what's up, man? You can request to speak if you want to hop up. I won't bug you to hop up, but you can.
And on that note, too, you and I discussed this a little bit towards the very end of last week's as well, right? But like when you look at, and this is something that kind of comes up, I think a lot, right? It's like, oh, there's a skill gap. And I think that sometimes that's, it's like it extrapolated into, oh, that just means there aren't enough people, which to some degree is true, to fill those roles, there aren't enough people, but it really comes down to a skills gap. Like, can you prove that you can do some of those skills? I had a great mentorship session with my mentor this past Monday, And one of the things he said, you know, is that he said, think of the fact that IBM has now their workforce in cybersecurity specifically is less than 50% have a college degree. You know, and so it's not like you need to have a degree in computer science or cybersecurity specifically or information security. Like just the paths that Macaroni has explained of like learning this stuff on your own, being a self-taught, you know, at least intermediate on a lot of this stuff, that's fine, right? As long as you can prove you can do the tasks that are asked of you, then right, that's going to be the key to success. You know, just having a degree doesn't mean, you know, that you can do the job.
That is very true. I know a lot of people above me that don't even have a degree, right? So it's the path you want to take, right? You know, whatever path you want to take, go with it, right? John, what's up? How are you doing?
I'm great. Just got off of work. How's everyone doing tonight? And happy Easter.
Yeah, you too, man. Doing great. Thank you. Yeah. Do you have any questions or thoughts to share or anything like that? Or are you just listening in?
I'm just listening in.
Cool, man. Well, for your benefit and awareness and knowledge, you know, I have two great intelligent folks up here with me today, Sam and Driving Tips. But, you know, I run this space every Sunday and I talk about different things in cybersecurity. Most of the time it's tips and suggestions and things to help people out and teams out to be more secure. But today I decided to talk about getting into cybersecurity. But I also, Sam pinned up a tweet for me at the top on my main account, Holy Macaroni, which seemed to have dropped out of this space somehow. But that's my YouTube channel and my two most recent videos. So if you're interested in that, that would mean a lot if you check it out. Anyway, enough of my advertising there. Hey, Quasar, you haven't requested to speak, but hey, I was confused on the Cardano over coffee space on Friday, but afterwards I realized what y'all are talking about. Just let me know when you want to get together, Quasar, to talk about that thing. And yeah, so maybe I can share some tips or help or whatever. But yeah, anyway, the last topic. So certifications. Now, there's a lot to be said here. Unlike the other categories, I'm going to try to keep my advice here short and sweet. I'll break it into two different categories: things to look at right now and things to look at further on in your career. So the first three certificates I would look at, and I'm going to explain this here in a moment, but I'll just name them first. They are all CompTIA certificates. The first one is a CompTIA Security Plus, then the Network Plus, and the A Plus. Now, I'm not recommending to get the A plus, but what I would suggest you do is to start studying for the A plus, because there's a lot of information in there about IT that will help you along that quest of how I talked in the very, very beginning about knowing a lot of the basics, right? So that's, if you kind of study the study material for an A plus, that'll help you a lot. A lot of times what I see on entry-level job applications, though, what they're typically looking for is a security plus. So I would study and probably suggest to get that one for your entry-level certification. Also, the network plus, I got the security plus and network plus together kind of at the same time. But a lot of people really just start out with the security plus. But the network plus might be one just kind of like the A plus, where you at least study for it and have that knowledge and background, right? That'll help you a lot. That'll kind of be the thing that says, hey, here are the things to start studying, right? If you don't know where to start. Now for certifications that might come along further on in your career, the first two I'll mention is ITIL V4. They might even have the V5 out now, I'm not sure. But ITIL, there's a lot to an ITIL certification, but it'll really help give you a great idea of if IT flow within a company, right, if you will. Then also I have the CEH, the Certified Ethical Hacker. Now, this is kind of an involved certificate, and you really don't need that one if you're not looking to get into ethical hacking or threat threat hunting or forensics or anything like that. But what I found through the CEH was the knowledge I learned from getting that was really fun and intriguing. So, if you're kind of a few years into your career or something, ITIL and CEH might be something you want to start studying for, gaining that knowledge at least. Whether you get that certificate or not depends on what path you follow, but yeah. Now I'll also mention the CCNA. Now this is not a security related certificate, but it is a network related certificate. So it's specifically by Cisco. It's a Cisco certified network associate certification. It's networking, right? But it is very involved in networking. There are other levels of the CCNA. I think it goes up to CCNP and then CCN something. But anyway, that it's a good one to start studying for, especially if you're going to the networking side. And then the CISSP, so the CISSP. The CISSP is a very popular one if you've been in the security space for a while. So that's typically the one that says, oh, well, you got your security plus, you've been in the field for 5 years. Now you want to get into the CISSP to kind of take that next level. So that the CISSP would be the one I'd recommend later on down the road. As far as I'm aware, I believe there's still the requirements for the CISSP, which is you have to have a minimum of 5 years in the security space, like a job, right? And you also have to pass the exam, obviously, and then you have to have someone that is already CISSP certified to sponsor you to say, basically, yeah, this person's doing what they said and they should have a CISSP, right? But yeah, that's. But there are a lot of other certifications, right? There's Microsoft certifications. There's, it's on the tip of my tongue. There's some other popular ones too. But anyway, I'll pause there, and see what you guys have to say.
Yeah, well, you started to get into it, right? So, in addition to all of those that you mentioned, right, and so CompTIA or DIAC, which is what I asked to, or
Yeah,
SANS, sorry.
GIAC is what I meant to mention, yeah.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of those, and those are what are called vendor neutral. They're just general. General certifications that are very applicable to many different areas. But then, yeah, you absolutely, if you whatever career either you are in, or that you want to get in, if you know, hey, I want to do networking, right? Then maybe it's good to start studying some CCNA or some of the other training certificates with vendor specific courses to kind of get you on that way. Same thing, without being like all the way into it, right? But like Microsoft Azure, AWS, or Google Cloud, they all have their own specific certifications that teach you how to secure those cloud environments. So if you're going to be working specifically on that side, those are probably really good ones to get into as well. And there might have been something else I was going to say, but yeah. No, it's definitely there's a wide range. I think, I probably would say the ones you mentioned, that are vendor neutral, are probably really good. Any of your CompTIA, your SANS, your IS2, IS squared, whatever they are, those are really good to kind of get you in the door, and then you can specialize from there. I know a buddy of mine, he was working for, or still is working for, an ISP. He started as the guy who installs your cable internet right in your home. That's where he started 14 years ago, and now he's a network security architect for, so he and they have sent him to like course after course after course, to make him highly specialized in network security, especially SIP and VoIP. And so, I mean, if you find a path that you really enjoy, your employer should be sending you to those courses to improve yourself too.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. Absolutely on that. Yeah, SANS is another one that I forgot to mention. I'm actually working on getting some of our employees to go through some of the SANS certifications and courses. Man, there was something else I was going to mention based on what you said. Something kind of funny. Hell if I can remember now. Yeah, that happens to me a lot. My wife tells me all the time.
I'm getting older. But,
yeah.
One thing, and this may seem, I mean, it depends on where everybody is, right? Like if you're already kind of, you know, you're familiar with computers and computer science related topics, it may not apply. But I will say, you know, I took the CompTIA Plus in not in a bragging way, but I don't think I learned anything from going through the training up and taking the course. But what the big reason I wanted to take it is because I wanted to know how that kind of standardized testing went. And, you know, so I wasn't caught unprepared, you know, for follow on. But so, I mean, that's potentially one benefit of learning the CompTIA Plus. Just seeing how at least some of those standardized tests might work.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely, man. Yeah. Yeah, the thing I was going to mention too is, you know, one of my first jobs when I first got out of the Navy, because I wasn't sure what I was going to do and I needed some money, was I think I only did it for like 4 months or something, but I was doing DirecTV installs. And let me tell you, that was the worst thing I have ever done in my entire life. And I've done some things, and that was DirecTV installs. It was just the worst. It was just awful. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think that covers all the areas I want to talk about, but driving tip or Sam or John, do you or Amigo, you haven't requested to hop up and speak, but you're still welcome to. Do you guys have anything else to add on to any of this?
I had one last thing. So I did, yeah. I commented down below, and then I did pin them up top as well. So one is the link to your gift book with all of this information. So you can go there and follow that. And then also I shared the cyberseek.org cyberseek map, right? So that's something that is also really interesting. When we talk about like, oh, there's jobs, right? There's really two different parts of the website. One is an interactive cyberseek heat map that'll kind of tell you, you know, where the job density is, right? In a kind of coded way, but they'll also show you kind of like where the jobs are focused, you know, between the operate, maintain, oversee, and govern, protect, defend. So depending on what you want to do, you can kind of work down in that domain, at least how they have it broken down. But it, and then it also has certifications of how many hold a certain certification and how many openings are requesting it. So you can kind of get an idea, like, you know, drilling down into that. We won't go through it. It's there's so much information. But, you know, you can see, like, what is being asked for in those areas. So if you want to do, you know, investigation, that's where you want to go. You can kind of see the roles that are in it on their career pathway, and then the skills and certifications, and kind of look at, you know, what's being asked, you know, at entry level, mid level, and advanced. But I'll end it there. I mean, there's so much to talk about there, but it is a really cool thing to kind of give you an idea of where you may also want to start focusing.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion, Sam. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Yeah, that's cyberseek.org. Yeah, that is a cool suggestion. Thank you for that. Yeah. All right. John or driving tip? Do you guys have anything on your mind that's or come up on your mind since we've been chatting that you have to share? I'm coming up close to the end of the space, but
No, you're good wrapping it up. Thank you for indulging us with all that great info. I mean, I'm kind of in like acronym hell right now, trying to piece a lot of them together, but so much great info there. Really appreciate you guys digging in there. That's like some great certs and pieces, and yeah, there's always more to learn.
Driving tip, I always appreciate you, man. Thank you very much. And you're right. And I'm kind of used to the acronym thing, and I think Sam is too, because we're both in the military for a long time. And so you get out, you know, I spent 13 years in the Navy, I'm 13 years in cybersecurity, so acronyms have become like a thing of my life. Like they drive me nuts, but it's just kind of a thing now.
The joke is, you can have an entire sentence or conversation just so like crammed with acronyms. And yeah, you and I would probably like, oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. But somebody else listening, yeah, might be, I don't even know what they're talking about. But yeah, no, I mean, that's a good point that, right, maybe we should be careful of the acronyms and spell
Yeah, we
them out a
should.
little bit better too, yeah.
Absolutely, definitely need to do that. I mean, I could probably write an entire article, if not an entire novel, on nothing but acronyms with conjunction words and nothing else. Anyway, I know. Yeah, we definitely need to use the full terms. Well, thank you guys. John, do you have anything? I'm about to close up. I just want to give you an opportunity as well.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that. I'm going to be taking a Python course to start out since I don't know many languages. Heard that's a good one to start with.
I mean,
Nice.
there are a lot of great scripting coding languages to start out with. If you like Python and you're interested, go ahead. I love Python. In my day job, we use Python all the time for creating scripts to use APIs to pull logging information and stuff, right? So it's a hugely popular language and really fun to learn. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad I picked that one then. I tried C sharp, but I got kind of bored with it.
Yeah, I was never good at C sharp, C++, stuff like that, but yeah, I get it. Yeah, but Python's a great one. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I think it's probably one of the most versatile that I've come across for cybersecurity. In OWASP, going back on that, like, you look at web applications, JavaScript, and JavaScript related languages, they come up a lot. So I mean, for me, I've kind of branched out too, and I'm not great at it. Like, I'm not a great programmer in JavaScript, but yeah, no, I mean, I think Python is absolutely, a great place to start.
And I mentioned earlier, I used a there's a Udemy course on Python that I use to learn Python, but also YouTube is, that's a perfect example of where YouTube is very useful because there's a lot of great Python tutorials on there. But yeah, man, just start playing with it. That's the best thing you can do. I spent a lot of time learning and stuff and until I used Python and actually, so actually I got where I got really good with Python is when I started working with CNFT tools. I started working with them 2 years ago, and that's where I really started learning Python really well. Just start learning it, find a reason to use it, and that'll help you a lot.
Awesome, thank you. I'll also give your YouTube videos a watch tonight when I get home.
Thank you, John. That is greatly appreciated. It is. Thank you.
And I'll give a free subscribe. It doesn't bother me at all.
I was talking to my wife about that earlier with a friend. I said, if I see a video I like, whether I'm going to watch your channel or not, I don't mind throwing them a subscribe,
Right on, man. All right, well, I'm going to head out. Have a good one.
Cool.
Thanks, everyone.
You too, John. You take care, man. Take care. Hey, amigo. I see you hopped up now. You've been here for a while listening in. What's up?
Yeah, I'd just like to say thank you for having me in the space, and it's a pleasure to meet you. And thanks to Driver for the other day helping me in some problems I was having. And I was going to say hi to John, and thank you for all your support, John. I'm into road safety, so it's a different conversation, but thanks for having me in your space.
That's
Anytime, amigo.
wonderful to hear. Yeah, thanks, John, for helping him out. Whatever you did with him, that's wonderful. I love seeing that. Cool.
Sorry, it was Driver who helped me out the other day. I couldn't get up in the space to speak, and but thanks, John, for all your support. Also, thanks very much. I really appreciate that.
Awesome. Driving tips are awesome, man. Again, not. not blowing anybody's head up too much trying. But I absolutely appreciate you too, man. Well, thanks, amigo, for joining. Thanks everybody for joining, actually. So I think I've been on here for almost an hour and a half. So we're gonna go ahead and close up next Sunday. So this week I'm gonna be working on a video for Common, like I mentioned earlier, in the beginning, the next 3 weeks are going to be the Twitter Spaces. All will, at least for this month, follow the same theme as the YouTube videos. So next week I'll be talking about crypto scams, common trends and stuff, and what to look out for with crypto scams, through, the common typical attack vectors, right? Email, social media, stuff like that, what to look out for. The following week I'll be talking about social media security, how to actually secure your social media accounts for some of the major platforms out there. The third week we'll be talking about thought processes, right? So agnostic to any tools out there or anything like that, how do you apply your own thought process or knowledge to identify on your own potentially malicious things or safe things, so you can make your own determination if you want to interact with something or someone or not interact with that, right? That kind of thing. So because that's kind of what I do now, right? I have that knowledge to where I can apply it without actually even using a security tool. I still use them, right? I still suggest using them, but I want to be able to teach people. I think it's very important and fundamental for people to understand how to identify things like that on their own. So that'll be the third week. So that's kind of the next few weeks, as a near future look ahead of what I'll be talking about. All right, well, thanks everybody for joining. I'm going to go ahead and close it up unless anybody interrupts me while I'm closing up. But I hope everybody has a great rest of your Sunday or Easter Sunday if you celebrate Easter or whatever you do. And we'll talk next week. See y'all.